Today's episode of Locked On Oilers secondary scoring. How have the Oilers fared when they get goals from anyone other than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to start off with the Edmonton Oilers depth scoring. How have the Edmonton Oilers fared in their last 10 games when the Edmonton Oilers don't get goals from Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl? We will talk about that in just a bit. But also on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the three things the Edmonton Oilers need to do to beat the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night on, well, it's not hockey night in Canada, but you know what it is. It's Saturday. It's hockey night in Canada all day. We'll talk about that as well on today's episode. And to wrap up, we are going into our Edmonton Oilers prospect report in the CHL. And we actually have a pretty heartwarming story from one of the Edmonton Oilers prospects that we will go over. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Where we're going to start off is with the Edmonton Oilers depth scoring, as hasn't been a lot of it. Has not been a lot of it. And it got me thinking. Yes, last night, Klim Kostin got his first goal as an Edmonton Oiler with 3 seconds left. It didn't really matter. Other than those last 3 seconds, so for 59 minutes and 57 seconds, all the goals that the Edmonton Oilers got in that game against the Minnesota Wild were from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. That is not a winning recipe. So I thought I'd go back and take a look at the last 10 games and see who scored in those games other than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, which, spoiler alert, other than I think one against, actually no, he ended up scoring in that game too. In every single one of these games, either Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl has scored in, except for the New York Islanders game where, guess what? They got shut out. But let's go over the last 10 games for the Oilers and see who has scored other than 97 and 29. In Minnesota, Klim Kostin, with 3 seconds left, which ended up in a 5-3 loss for the Oilers, which that goal made it 5-3 after it was 5-2 for 59 minutes of that game. Anyways, but yes, the Oilers get a goal from anybody not named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. But again, that came with 3 seconds left. The game was already decided. Doesn't really matter. Then you take a look at the games the Edmonton Oilers have won. Against Chicago, Matthias Janmark and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins getting goals in that one. The Edmonton Oilers win. Against Florida, an overtime win against Florida. Coming back in that game, Tyson Barrie scores, Evan Bouchard scores, the Edmonton Oilers go on to win. New York Rangers. Evan Bouchard scores twice and Dylan Holloway scores his first NHL goal. The Edmonton Oilers win. Then against the Islanders, nobody scores, so that's a little bit of a wash. The Oilers lose either way in a 3-0 shutout. Every game that the Edmonton Oilers have had only one player score, not named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, the Edmonton Oilers have lost. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins against New Jersey, loss. Zach Hyman against Los Angeles, loss. Zach Hyman against Carolina in a 7-2 loss. All those were losses. Against Vegas, overtime win. Warren Fogle and Zach Hyman getting a goal. Against Florida, Evan Boucher, or sorry, Tyson Berry, Tyson Berry, excuse me, with two goals in that game. Warren Fogle and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins also getting goals in that one. And the Edmonton Oilers go on to win. Over the last 10 games, the Edmonton Oilers are 5-5-0. And in those five wins, the Oilers have had at least two players not named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl scoring a goal, and they'd go on to win the game. In the five losses that the Edmonton Oilers have, well, lost in those 5-10 games, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have either scored all the goals or have only been helped out by one other player. I understand you're listening to this and be like, tell us something you don't know or we don't know. I know. I understand. But here is the stats. Here it is right in front of us. And what is the Edmonton Oilers' biggest issue other than the depth scoring? Is consistency. Well, I'm not a big math guy, but maybe depth scoring equals consistency. Also, depth scoring probably leads to winning hockey games. And when you take a look at these ones where every game that the Oilers have won in, there's been at least two other names other than Leon or Connor on the score sheet, the Edmonton Oilers win. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers are really missing Evander Kane and Kyler Yamamoto. And that's the thing. That's where we're sitting here going, wow, maybe Kyler Yamamoto, who scored 20 goals last year, and Evander Kane, who everybody knows what Evander Kane can do on the ice, maybe they're more valuable to this team than we think. And yes, those are guys who are scoring, and I'm being very generous saying depth scoring, because Zach Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins show up on this list a lot. And those are both guys who play in the top six. So you can put a quote-unquote depth scoring around that as much as you want, and I will agree with you. The Edmonton Oilers need to get scoring from anybody other than Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and on top of it, anybody other than Zach Hyman or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Because that is the recipe to win games for this team. You know Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl is going to score. You just know it. But so does the other team. If the other team can limit those two guys to a goal a game, which, hey, please do. I am okay with 82 goals from Connor and Leon. Because there's 82 games in the season. Get it? Anyways. That is what the winning recipe for the other team is. Shut down Connor and Leon. Oh, we're good. Then you shut down Connor and Leon. And then you got, oh, Tyson Berry scored two goals in the last 10 games. Or two goals in a game in the last 10 games. Oh, Evan Bouchard scored two goals in a game in the last 10 games. Weirdly enough, the Edmonton Oilers would go on to win both of those games against teams who are favorites to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. The New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers. At least to enter the season, at least. Let's see how many times I can say at least. So the issue now becomes, the Oilers need defense. I 100% agree with you. I will not disagree with that anymore because I was one of those people saying, oh, no, they don't need defense, blah, blah, blah. The Oilers need scoring other than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And right now, I don't know if that is in the organization. We don't know how long Kyler Yamamoto is going to be out. I mean, we may see Zach or Evander Kane get Nikita Kucherov here. So the Edmonton Oilers need to make a deal, is what I'm getting out of this. But where? Where from? Obviously, you need depth scoring, and I'll be honest with you, I think the number one player that the Edmonton Oilers should be going after right now is Max Domi. The guy scored, what, two goals against them in the game against Chicago He can really add something to the middle six. He'll probably play second line or third line. Which, could you imagine a line of Costin, McLeod, Domi, Puljujärvi, Domi, and McLeod once they're healthy? That's the thing. The Oilers are also missing Warren Fogle and Ryan McLeod, which, by the way, Warren Fogle shows up on this board twice in this list. Which is more than Puljujärvi, which I'll give Puljujärvi his due. He's played very well over the last couple of games. But the Edmonton Oilers are hurting, and they're hurting from their secondary scoring. When the Oilers get secondary scoring, they win. But the Edmonton Oilers don't always have that. And that is why we are seeing the inconsistencies of the Edmonton Oilers. Just, you can see in these 10 games, five of them are wins, five of them are losses, five of them the Oilers get at least two goal scorers, not named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, and five of them you don't. But if the Edmonton Oilers can find just another player to help them score goals, yes, the Oilers need help preventing them, but you win games by scoring more goals than the other team. I think that'll help. I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I talking out of my butt here, or is this legit? Again, like, the five wins for the Edmonton Oilers over the last 10 games. Chicago, goals from Janmark and Nugent Hopkins. Florida, goals from Barry and Bouchard. The Rangers, goals from Bouchard twice and Dylan Holloway. An overtime win against the Vegas Golden Knights. Fogle and Hyman getting goals. A win against the Florida Panthers in Florida, two goals from Tyson Berry, one goal from Warren Fogle, and a goal from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. The numbers are right there. All you have to do is add them up. I don't know. Let's move on to the three things the Oilers need to do against the Montreal Canadiens. I'm not going to include depth scoring because that's an obvious one. But there are some things that the Edmonton Oilers can do to lock up a victory at home against the Montreal Canadiens. We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. I'm talking football. I'm talking basketball, soccer, esports. They've got it all at BetOnline. Guys, you know what I was watching before we started the show today? NLL lacrosse. And you can find that on BetOnline. Yes, NLL lacrosse. They're starting their season this weekend. Go Saskatchewan Rush. Take a look at the lines there. I think Mark Matthews is going to score a goal. Either way, plus if you love sports podcasts, which if you're listening to this one, you probably do, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Alrighty, moving on to the three things the Edmonton Oilers need to do to win against the Montreal Canadiens to win the game. And a big win for the Montreal Canadiens against the Calgary Flames on Thursday. We all saw the Jacob Markstrom clip of him coming out from his net to half, basically, and then him afterwards pulling a Jack Campbell going, "I just suck at hockey right now," which was fantastic to see. Not because I love Jacob Markstrom. When he was drafted, I think he was a very good prospect. Shout out Florida for drafting great goaltending prospects. But it was kind of bittersweet to see, you know. Either way, three things for the Oilers to do against the Montreal Canadiens to win the game. The first one, the obvious one, score first. The Edmonton Oilers need to score first. The Oilers have only scored or have only lost the game when scoring the first goal twice this season. Yes, one of them was against Minnesota, which was their last game. I know, I get it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen every time. The Edmonton Oilers are 8-2-0 this year when scoring the first goal, and on the flip side, 5-8-0 when allowing the first goal. Then you take a look at the Montreal Canadiens, and if the Edmonton Oilers allow the first goal of the game, you get virtually the same odds as what the Oilers would get. Montreal, when scoring the first goal of the game, go on to win the game 7 times so far this year. 1 loss in regulation and 1 loss in overtime. When the Montreal Canadiens trail first, they're 5-9-0. It's important. This first goal is important. As both teams have virtually the exact same winning percentage when they score the first goal, and virtually the exact same losing percentage when they allow the first goal. So why let fate try and why push fate? Why test it? Get the first goal of the game and you won't have to worry about it. Yeah, I mean, again, it seems simple. It's the Edmonton Oilers' biggest flaw so far this year. But if you score the first goal of the game for the Oilers, you're probably going to win it. Easy as that. Also, get anybody but Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid to score it, and you're probably fine. The next thing, the second thing for the Edmonton Oilers to do against the Montreal Canadiens to win the game, keep your foot on the pedal. If you get that first goal, get the second goal, hell, get the third goal, keep scoring. Do not let Montreal back in this game or you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. You allowed Minnesota to get back in the game. You're up 1-0. You're really pushing the game. You're pushing the pace. You were setting the pace. Yes, they had that buggy goal on the power play off the boards. Damn it. All right. Well, you move on. Then you took the lead and was setting the pace again. And then you allowed 4 unanswered goals. You cannot do that in the NHL if you want to be a contender. And the Edmonton Oilers have had a major issue. Take a look. Major issue. Take a look at the Chicago game. The Oilers were up, what, 4-1? And in the span of 19 seconds, it was 4-3. Life comes at you fast, and especially if you're sitting there and letting the other team come into the game. The Edmonton Oilers, first thing, score first. Second thing, make sure you keep that foot on the pedal or you're going to lose the game. You're going to let Montreal back in it, and you're going to lose it. And the third thing for the Edmonton Oilers to do in this game against the Montreal Canadiens to make sure they win it is stop watching the puck. No puck watching in your own end. The amount of times that I see Evan Bouchard standing with nobody in front of the net, right in front of the net, going, oh, wow, look at William Nylander. But I guess the Oilers haven't played the Leafs yet, but you know what I'm saying here. Look at him with the puck behind the net. And there's now 2 people in front of my goaltender and somebody back door, and I'm just standing there going, oh, maybe I should have covered one of them. I just really like seeing what that guy could do with the puck. The amount of times I see wingers coming down way too low onto the puck carrier on the end boards and leaving the point open, the slot open, the anything open, the face-off dot, because you're worried about watching the puck and getting the puck off the puck carrier and not off playing a zone defense or a man defense even to begin with. Is disgusting. And they have not helped their goaltenders at all. At all. Yes, I know we talked about Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner yesterday, but that does go hand in hand with how the defense has played. Yes, statistically, Stuart Skinner has played better behind the Edmonton Oilers defense. But you can only do so much when your defense is leaving you out to dry. And that doesn't only stand with the defense either. That goes for the forwards. Where are the Oilers positioned in this area? Where is the defense positioned at this time? Oh, well, the puck's in the corner and we have three guys below the goal line and four other guys on the other team crashing the net and only two guys to worry about. Oh, and by the way, we forgot about the point man who's wide open for the shot and the goalie has no idea that he's coming in for the shot because you've left him high and dry. The Edmonton Oilers need to stop watching the puck in their own end. Stop the puck watching, please. Please, and you'll win against the Montreal Canadiens. To recap, the three things for the Edmonton Oilers to beat the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada. Basically, Hockey Night in Canada. It's 5 o'clock, not the 8 o'clock game, but you know what I mean. The first thing, score first. The Oilers are 8-2-0 when they score the first goal of the game and 5-8-0 when they allow the first goal. Score the first goal. Second thing, keep your foot on the pedal. The Edmonton Oilers allowed the Chicago Blackhawks back into the game, and it was looking pretty ugly. The Edmonton Oilers allowed the Minnesota Wild back into the game and they lost the game. Keep your foot on the pedal. Do not let your opposition back in the game. And the third thing, no puck watching, please. Know your man, stay on your man, and get that man out of the zone. That is it. That is all the Edmonton Oilers need to do against a Montreal Canadiens team that they should beat. But hey, you'd never know. Let's wrap up today with the Edmonton Oilers prospect report. As mentioned, we have a nice little story to talk about from one of the prospects in the CHL, well, the WHL, or the Edmonton Oilers. We will get to that in just a second, but first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, let's get into the Edmonton Oilers prospect report. These are going to be the CHL prospects. So one from the OHL, three from the Dub. And again, we've got a couple of nice stories here. One more prevalent than the others, but still. Let's start off with the player in the O, and that is Matvei Petrov. Having a pretty solid season so far for the Brampton Battalion. North Bay Battalion, excuse me. I'm sorry, I was born in the 90s. The North Bay Battalions for Matvei Petrov. And Petrov has actually just broke a six-game goalless streak for his season so far, which is actually one of the longest in his career. He broke it against the Sudbury Wolves in their game, their most recent game. Actually, they're playing tonight, so don't have an update on that game yet. But in the last five games, one goal, two assists, 3 points for Petrov. A little bit cooled down, but either way, throughout this season, 23 games played, 10 goals, 18 assists, 28 points. Oh, and by the way, he's grown taller. He's 6'2" now. And just as fast. I think the Edmonton Oilers have a steal at this pick. I'm really interested to see how he keeps growing, but signs have been pretty positive. Yes, his exhibition was a little meh, but that's okay. It's only, what, it was his first real pro camp, so you can only put so much into it. They are playing Kingston tonight. Don't have an update yet on that game, but if I do get one, I will send it your way. Let's head into the WHL now, as a lot of good stories coming out of the WHL for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's start off with their first round pick from this year's draft, Reed Schaefer. Reed Schaefer is just tearing it up for the Seattle Thunderbirds, one of the best teams in the Dub this year. 20 games played for Schaefer, 15 goals, 9 assists, 24 points for Schaefer on an absolute wagon. of a side. By the way, Seattle just got Luke Prokop too. Not just, like a couple of weeks ago. So I know the Oil Kings aren't great this year. If you want to cheer for a team this year, Seattle, that's the team right there. Heck, there are even rumors that Seattle might trade for Connor Bedard at one point. So, hey, coming out of the World Juniors, you never know. You never know. Currently, Reed Schaefer's on a 5-game point streak and only 4 penalty minutes for Schaefer over the last 5 games, which I mentioned because the last time we talked about him, he had a game of 12 penalty minutes. So, yeah, there's the little give and take, but only 4 penalty minutes for him so far, and that's good over the last 5 games. His next game for the Seattle Thunderbirds comes tomorrow on Saturday against the Victoria Royals. The Victoria Royals over in BC there. Let's move on to Maximus Wanner, as probably, I would say, not the story of the training camp for the Oilers, but a story for the Edmonton Oilers at their training camp, as he signed his entry-level contract, a 7th round pick for the Edmonton Oilers as well, who is, well, panning out so far. I think he was a 7th round pick. He was a late round pick for the Oilers. 19 games played for him so far this year. 5 goals, 13 assists, 18 points. He came back from an injury as well earlier this year, and he has been fantastic. In fact, of all the prospects so far, over the last 5 games, he has the most points of any of the prospects. 5 games played, no goals, 6 assists, or 6 points. In fact, against Victoria in over the last couple of games, 4 assists in 1 game for Maximus Wanner. Yeah. Yeah, he's a big boy who can skate, who can hit, and contribute offensively. You'll love to see it. I'm really excited to see the growth and development of Max Wanner. I'm excited to see where he goes next year, specifically, see if he stays in Moose Jaw, if he comes and plays pro in Bakersfield, whatever that may be. But his next game is tomorrow night as well against the Red Deer Rebels. Seems like he was going to be on a Alberta trip here. He's not, unfortunately. But the next time that he is in Edmonton, January 10th. So just over a month away, you can watch an Edmonton Oilers prospect against the Edmonton Oil Kings. So really, I hate to harbor on harp on the Oil Kings still here, but really, if you're going to an Oil Kings game, it's to see the other team. But hey, if you want to go see the other team against the Oil Kings, January 10th, Maximus Wanner's Moose Jaw Warriors is at Rogers Place. Now, sometimes and most times, things off the ice are more important. And Jake Chiasson for the Brandon Wheat Kings and Edmonton Oilers draft pick understood that. He's been in the news this week because him and his teammates, coming back already from volunteering, noticed a man, I believe, on a bridge in Prince George who is assumptively, I guess is the word, ready to take his own life. Jake Chiasson and 3 of his teammates gave that person somebody to talk to, which isn't always easy. And especially for somebody who needs somebody to talk to, those 4 kids, as traffic flew by, stopped on the side of the road and gave this man somebody to talk to, gave this person somebody to talk to, and saved their lives. Yes, I mean, Jake Chiasson, 24 games played so far, 19 points, 5 points in the last 5. But this is more important. You can make it about hockey and you can see the maturity in a player or whatever, but that's a good man right there. Already coming back from volunteering, him and his 3 buddies, they didn't have to do that. But they did, and they saved a life for it. Jake Chiasson, I was going to talk about your games, but massive applause to you. Because you and your teammates, because that it really takes just being a human being to do that, and it's not an easy thing to do. I know it sounds weird, but it's not an easy thing. So Jake Chason, if you haven't already found the story or heard of the story yet, it's a great story of him and his teammates stalled for time as the police came and helped talk this person off the ledge, and ended up again saving a life in Brandon. So Jake Chason, you good on you. You've prospect of the week just for that alone. So we're gonna call it there on that note, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you stay safe as the Edmonton Oilers go against the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night, 5 o'clock puck drop at Rogers Place. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, everybody. As I mentioned, stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And hopefully at the end of the Montreal game, we can play La Bamba, baby.